The Trans-Pacific Partnership is a blockbuster free trade agreement covering the Pacific Rim. WikiLeaks have leaked the intellectual property chapter. The intellectual property chapter, as it has been revealed, is highly controversial. The intellectual property chapter really seeks to provide for stronger and longer protection for intellectual property rights. And that is something that everyone in the Pacific Rim should care about, because it will affect things like IT pricing and drug and medicine pricing, and raise other questions about things like internet freedom and competition.
For an everyday net user, there's obviously some issues here with, say, downloading.
Yeah, I mean, there are a whole wide range of issues for everyday consumers. I mean, one of the commentators, Jamie Love, has described the draconian Trans-Pacific Partnership as anti-consumer. And I think consumers, having a look at the implications of the agreement, will be most concerned. I mean, Australian consumers have really been betrayed by, the negotiations. Australian consumers have been betrayed by this trade deal. You know, the Australian Parliament has been busy investigating IT pricing, led by Ed Husic and others. And they made a wide range of recommendations about actions that could be taken to stop Australian consumers being ripped off. If you have a look at this agreement, you can see that, you know, this agreement would entrench that problem of Australian consumers being ripped off in terms of IT pricing. You know, there's stronger copyright protection, stronger digital locks. Australia was arguing against kind of exhaustion rules. There's, you know, a lack of respect for the notion that intellectual property should promote, good competition outcomes. So Australian consumers will feel betrayed by the revelations about the IP chapter.
And were these things that the Australian negotiators were willing to let slide, or are these things that they were actually pushing for in the negotiations?
Well, I think the disturbing thing about the leaked text is that it shows that the Australian negotiators have been kind of very two-faced. You know, in public they have said, you know, we are fighting hard for the public interest in intellectual property. But if you have a look at the text, Australia has been really very passive and has often gone along with the United States. I mean, you can see in the text that, you know, Canada is making a stand on certain issues and New Zealand is making a stand. But, you know, Australia seems very passive and willing to kind of trade away quite important things.
And that is one of the unique things about this leak that we've seen, is that it does include comments about the negotiations.
Yeah, the agreement kind of text reveals the positions of the parties in the negotiations. So it's kind of quite revealing in terms of the stance of the various different nations in terms of the discussions. You know, there has been some dissent from various nations on particular topics, but I think the United States would like to kind of press the other countries with a kind of ultimatum that, you know, they have to accept this kind of tough, hard deal on intellectual property if they want to kind of get other perceived benefits in terms of the agreement. So I think that's very disturbing. It's particularly disturbing because, in addition to concerns about IT pricing, you know, the trade agreement includes proposals for more than a dozen measures that would impact upon drug pricing.
Health is a large area of focus in these negotiations, isn't it?
It is a large area. And you kind of might remember about a decade ago with the Australia-United States Free Trade Agreement, there was a huge controversy over the evergreening of pharmaceutical drugs. And, you know, this agreement reignites those sorts of controversies.
If you could just explain what evergreening is.
So evergreening are kind of tactics used by drug companies to try to extend the life of a patent. And Australia, I guess, has been very concerned about the economic and health impact of patent term extensions. So Nicholas Gruen and Di Nicol did a report saying Australia could save millions of dollars if we kind of addressed the problem of drug patent extensions and related problems in terms of evergreening. But, you know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, you know, is really designed to limit competition and raise prices in markets for drugs. And I guess there's also kind of concern that, you know, the United States has been kind of undermining flexibilities in, within the patent regime for access to essential medicines. So MSF kind of did a stinging critique this morning, kind of having a look at the chapter on patents and the references in relation to access to essential medicines, and they are very kind of concerned that the United States seem to be trying to unravel flexibilities that exist for trying to provide access to medicines, particularly for developing countries and least developed countries. And it should be remembered, you know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership includes partners such as, you know, Vietnam and Malaysia and Brunei.
In the Australian context, obviously there'd be some concerns with these patent extensions and reduced access to generic drugs that that could push up the cost of the pharmaceutical benefits scheme and undermine the sustainability of that system.
Yes, there's a great deal of concern that the Trans-Pacific Partnership will place greater pressure on the affordability of healthcare. You know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership poses a very clear and definite kind of threat to public health in terms of, you know, the package of measures just within this chapter. So the Trans-Pacific Partnership, you know, poses a very critical challenge to public health systems, including, you know, the pharmaceutical benefit scheme.
I guess one argument would be that Australia's not without its own domestic healthcare, pharmaceutical and also creative industries such as film. Is there much for Australian companies to gain from having these enhanced IP protections?
Well, you know, Australia is a kind of a net importer in terms of, you know, intellectual property products. You know, I'd say that the main beneficiaries of the agreement are really kind of transnational corporations who really can kind of benefit from having very uniform protection across a range of different jurisdictions. You know, in terms of, you know, the kind of particular beneficiaries of, you know, the provisions that are there, I think it's worthwhile stressing that, you know, on particular topics, you know, the United States is not very keen for to kind of make progress in relation to intellectual property. So when it comes to creators, for instance, there's nothing really there on moral rights. They're not that keen on Indigenous intellectual property. So, you know, the focus is really upon, you know, copyright industries rather than kind of individual kind of creators.
And I remember with the Australia-US Free Trade Agreement, there was some controversy about the US Mickey Mouse amendments to their copyright laws, which then, of course, affected us.
Yes, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is another Mickey Mouse agreement. So, you know, for the copyright terms, you know, there's a push by the United States for its Mickey Mouse regime in the United States to be the template. But for corporate-owned works, the United States has gone further and wants 95 years exclusive rights, like its domestic laws, while Australia, Peru, Singapore and Chile have been arguing for 70 years. Outrageously, Mexico wants the basic term to be life plus 100 years for natural persons. So, you know, the kind of the basic proposal for the Trans-Pacific Partnership is life plus 70 years. Australia was forced to go to that general level in terms of the Australia-United States Free Trade Agreement. But there are countries like Canada and New Zealand that are still only life plus 50 years. So it will be very kind of controversial in terms of the Trans-Pacific Partnership robbing the public domain and kind of providing corporate windfalls for companies. You know, famously, Milton Friedman said that copyright term extensions were no-brainers. You know, there was no greater benefit in giving longer terms. You know, it didn't kind of create any additional incentive to, you know, engage in creative activity. So, you know, the Mickey Mouse copyright term extension provisions will be highly controversial. And, you know, the United States seems to be trying to kind of ratchet up the term of protection yet again particularly in relation to corporate-owned works. So that's very controversial. I mean, I think there's also another very kind of important issue in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is the topic of plain packaging of tobacco products. So the IP chapter has some very general language about nothing derogates from, you know, a wide range of other treaties, including those from the World Health Organization. But I think it's concerning that the IP chapter doesn't explicitly preserve and protect Australia's initiatives in relation to the plain packaging of tobacco products and graphic health warnings.
Which are already being attacked by a lawsuit from Philip Morris.
Which are being attacked in the World Trade Organization by five different countries, and which is being attacked by Philip Morris under an investment clause. The Australian government needs to make very clear in the Trans-Pacific Partnership that plain packaging is legitimate, you know, under the IP chapter, under the investment chapter, and under Pacific tobacco text and the text on technical barriers to trade. So there's been a great deal of concern from the World Health Organization that big tobacco has been trying to kind of hijack free trade agreements like the Trans-Pacific Partnership to undermine and undercut public health measures like the plain packaging of tobacco products. And I'm just concerned reading the IP chapter that, you know, Australia has not pushed for text protecting explicitly plain packaging of tobacco products. So that is a kind of a critical kind of concern in terms of existing domestic laws that might be impacted by the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
And I guess just finally, for audiences that may not be familiar with how free trade agreements work and the net effects of these, how enforceable are these free trade agreements, and what are the penalties if Australia breaches such an agreement after it's signed up?
Well, I mean, I think the Trans-Pacific Partnership is going to be huge. You know, this chapter is only one of, you know, over a score of different chapters. You know, there are other chapters out there in the Trans-Pacific Partnership which have been very controversial. So there's been a lot of alarm about the investment chapter and the proposal for state investor dispute settlement provisions. So in other words, foreign investors could challenge government regulations which they thought affected their investments. And that has been highly controversial in terms of, you know, plain packaging of tobacco products in Australia. But it would also kind of affect a wide range of other sorts of activities as well. So Canada's moratorium on fracking in Quebec has been challenged by a gas company. It's Canada's drug patent laws have been challenged under an investment clause. So that is kind of disturbing. We haven't really kind of seen the chapter dealing with enforcement of parts of the agreement. But, you know, to me there seems to be a huge tension. You know, the World Trade Organization has its own kind of mechanisms for arbitrating and resolving disputes and settling disputes. You know, creating such a huge regime as the Trans-Pacific Partnership is obviously going to kind of create tensions with the existing multilateral framework for trade. And, you know, really the international trade system is going to be very fragmented in terms of its regime, having, you know, these regional agreements like the Trans-Pacific Partnership on top of existing institutions like the World Trade Organization. But, you know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership seems to me to be a juggernaut. It's designed to roll over and crush domestic laws. It raises huge questions about national sovereignty. No wonder there is such concern in parliaments throughout the Pacific Rim on the impact of this agreement on the ability of politicians who have been elected by the people to make laws. So it's interesting in the United States that Democrats and Republicans alike have been rebelling against Obama's proposals in relation to the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It seems today that the Greens are going to push various statements in the Australian Parliament demanding transparency for the rest of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And many other countries are going to be highly alarmed by the potential of the Trans-Pacific Partnership to override domestic laws and try to hold future governments and parliaments to particular standards and obligations. I think it's important to kind of think about the Trans-Pacific Partnership as a kind of a stealth bomber, as a kind of a mechanism designed to introduce a package of measures that would otherwise be politically unpalatable. And I mean, I think WikiLeaks has done a great public service by publishing and revealing the text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And hopefully it will encourage a much greater debate in the media and the public about the content of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, its lack of transparency, and its implications for public health, innovation, access to knowledge, tobacco control, competition.